Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and my mission is to help you really tune in to your vibrant, powerful self so that you can fully enjoy the life you've come here to live. And by doing so, help the whole planet shift to a more peaceful and loving way of being. Now, last week, I interviewed an amazing woman named Clementina Marie Giovannetti. And as promised, this week, she is back to delve deep into the topic of spiritual assignments. Now, if you didn't listen to last week's show and are feeling a little lost, I really suggest that you go back and listen to that show first. It will shed some light on what we're discussing, but more about Clementina's incredible knowledge when it comes to spiritual wisdom. For today, all I'm going to say is that Clementina was born with an incredible spiritual connection, and so she has a lot of wisdom she can share with us. Now, last week we talked about her book, Jesus and a Roman Centurion, a past life memoir, which you can get at www.spiritualwisdomtv.com. Today, we're going to talk about how her own spiritual connection can help to guide us in reawakening our connection with spirit, and how you can use that information to help your child also stay connected to what might be going on for them. So, Clementina, welcome back to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show.
Hi, thank you, Debbie.
I am so thrilled to have you back here with us today so that we could dive deeper into this very important topic of spiritual assignments. And as it turned out, last week went by so quickly, we didn't even really get to talk about your spiritual assignments. So why don't we start there? Can you give us a little synopsis about your spiritual assignments? And well, I know you have a fantastic story about it, so go for it.
Yeah. And, you know, I think people are going to be really surprised when they find out the catalyst or the venue of my spiritual assignments, many of them. And it's called dreams. You know, at a very, very young age, 3-4 years old, after I incarnated, thank God I quickly discovered dreams. And what I discovered was that at night, I was able to gently slip out of my body and float up to the ceiling. But when it first happened, Debbie, I was like, wait a minute, there's two of me? Because I'd look down and there's my body, my little kid body, and a teddy bear in my pajamas, sound asleep. Right. And there's this other me, right? That was kind of like light and like a ghost light, just an energetic kind of body. And then I was like, well, where do I go now? Because I'm already up to the ceiling, right? And the next thing you know it, I find myself what I refer to as the astral planes, multi dimensions of existence where souls can exist and express themselves and learn and grow without a human form. Now, some people might refer to it as heaven, and that's perfectly fine too. And so that was the beginning. So imagine in the morning then when I quickly realized, okay, I don't exactly know how I got out of my body and there's two of me. Well, let's see now if I can get back into that body like a pair of shoes. And I did. And one night, it was a normal routine. I was almost looking forward to it. As we talked about on the previous show, I didn't exactly have a user-friendly childhood.
Understatement.
So I was one kid that, you know, I didn't conform or obey to pretty much 99% of anything anybody told me as a child in this lifetime. But when mom was in bed, I was like, yeah, no problem. because I knew now at such age that I could just leave the matrix, leave the artificial reality, leave the illusions and all the insanity, and I could just go someplace else where basically I can meet more friendly people.
Right.
And one night, long and behold, when I was just beginning to fall asleep, I heard what I refer to as an angelic voice in the book call upon me and tell me to follow her. And so I did. To me, this was very normal. And next thing you know it, I'm brought, my soul, my consciousness, my ghost-like body is brought to a burning house. And the angel told me my assignment was to go into the house and to awaken the children and to awaken the dog. And they were all asleep and to bring them out of the house safely. Now, I was only 5 years old when I had this so-called dream, this out-of-body astral projection experience and an angelic encounter. But to me, it was very normal. Very normal for me. Again, the angel was a lot more friendlier than my mom and my dad, okay, and all the gang members in the streets of Chicago. So, of course, I was going to follow her and do whatever she told me to do. And next thing you know it, I'm in the room with the children and the dog, and they're sound asleep. I didn't know what else to do except wake up, you know? I mean, I'm screaming from the top of my lungs. Now, they must have heard me. Even though I didn't have a human body, okay, right. They heard me, they woke up, and they followed me outside to safety. Well, I eventually got back into my body. The angels thanked me. I thanked them. And the next morning when I woke up and found my way to the kitchen looking for some cereal, there was mom and dad. Dad was reading the newspaper. Mom was in her typical grouchy mood. And I was like, boy, you should have seen where I went last night and what I did. And the angel came and got me. And there was this house and it was burning and the kids. And I had to get the kids out and I had to get the Well, little did I realize that my dad was reading the exact story in that morning newspaper.
Right.
Now, let's face it, Debbie, they knew that they had a strange kid from the very beginning. Okay, this wasn't the first big episode, okay? And as we talked in the previous show about my confirmation when I was 10. So they had a lot of bumps in the road with me. But what do you mean? You're 5 years old. You left your body. The angels came and got you. Then you went into this burning building and you, what? Yeah.
I could see them. I mean, how's that even possible? You know, you're making this up or it's got to be the devil or something going on here.
Well, that was my mom's response, as I wrote in the book. She said, she told my father, and she said, I'm going to take her to the priest, to the Roman Catholic priest, to get exercise because she's definitely possessed by the devil.
Right.
Oh, hey, people, it's called an out-of-body experience. Get with the program.
No, I remember you telling me when we talked before that you thought, well, don't you guys have assignments? Like, share some of yours. What kinds of things have you been doing?
Right. You're exactly right, Debbie. I mean, I was only 5 years old for that particular experience. So, I mean, even though my mom and dad were dysfunctional alcoholics, my father was sexually assaulting me, my mother was beating the crap out of me on a regular daily basis, I still had innocently in my childness, you know, reverence for them, believe it or not, and thinking, well, they're my parents. So surely they get better assignments, right? And that's what I started asking. Well, don't the angels come for you? Where do you go at night? You know, what do you do at night? I mean, you're not just sleeping there. Did you know there's two of you? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And I would imagine their ego didn't take very kindly to that in itself. No, the angels don't talk to me. Why are they talking to you?
Well, because they were Roman Catholics. Yeah. And they were going to heaven, Debbie. They were going to heaven, even though my father was sexually exploiting and abusing me and my mother was beating me up, but they were still going to heaven. So yeah, who was I? Again, a soul having been incarnated in a girl's body, I'm worthless. What do I have to say about anything? And why would the angels come to talk to me? So, yeah.
So now these assignments have continued on throughout your life, right?
Oh, yes.
So do you think that everyone receives assignments of some sort? Like, I'm a little confused about it, because I can honestly say, although I have gone flying in my dreams and, you know, things like that, I really can't say I've ever done anything like that.
I find that, well, everyone we know so-called dreams, and The Dream World, which is another book that I wrote, the best-selling guide to spiritual interpretations of your dreams, I organize what our dreams are all about. And they're not just one clump thing like, well, you had, you know, a beer and a pizza last night, so hey, you had this real funny dream, you know.
Right.
You really have to discern yourself. And by reading my words and studying with me in my book, you begin to understand and get more clarification that the bottom line, the most important message that I can give to the audience is that you are not your body. You are a soul. And you have lived many, 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 many lifetimes. And there's no death. Death is a myth. And that when you do decide to incarnate in a human body, although your consciousness may experience some form of spiritual amnesia, and you don't remember anymore that you are a soul or your origin, or that you have spiritual abilities and that you can go and leave at will your body at any time that you want and actually function on these other dimensions. That's all like spiritual amnesia. And then when the dreams take place, people really don't know how to discern it. They don't know if it's real or not. Mm-hmm. And so the assignment part comes in when a soul really reaches an awakening state, so that when they transition from in their body or out of their body, they're fully awakened in their conscious state. They know what they're doing, and they're aware that they are multidimensional and they exist in a body and out of a body. So basically, a good example, no disrespect, the house was on fire. The angel really didn't have time to explain things to me.
Right.
This was not a time for school or mentoring, right? Mm-hmm. Today, we're going to teach you about out-of-body. You know, it was like, go in the house, wake up the kids, bring them out. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Because my evolution was there. And so it's just a matter of evolution and the opportunity like this for your audience to hear and to experience my consciousness, because I'm so clear about it. It's like, it's a matter of fact. Yeah, it's a done deal. Hopefully that will open up and get rid of some of the cobwebs as well and go, oh, because most of the artificial world in the matrix will distract you from this and say, oh, no, absolutely. No. No, you're just making this up. Yeah, you're just imagining this.
Mm-hmm. I know for myself, I've had very powerful dreams and I've had messages given to me, and I've sat down the next day and journaled about them to really internalize what they mean. And I've had lots of information given to me through my dreams, including downloads of stuff that I teach. And then people say, so where did you learn this? You know, what kind of research did you do? And I go, yeah, it's a tough one to explain. Now people are talking more and more about receiving downloads. And I'm not as much of a, I'll put it in quotes here, but a freak as I was. Because, you know, it's become a lot more normalized, a lot more accepted. And I think more people are tuning into it. But keeping in mind that we are halfway through our discussion today, how can a mom use this? Maybe to awaken herself or I have two questions here. You can decide which one to answer first. But also what to do for their child who might come to them and say, you know, mommy, when I did this last night in my sleep, you know, how do they respond to that kind of thing? So those are the two questions that come up that I really want us to get to cover.
Absolutely, Debbie. The most important thing that all moms, all parents have got to remember is that your child that you refer to as your child, in effect, is a soul who has lived many, many, many times before and may even be more evolved, more spiritually advanced than you are. And now they're taking form through, you know, a new child's body again. And they may be talking about their past lives as well. Children generally get flashbacks from former lifetimes, residuals. It's like strings that they still hold on from their former personalities, especially if they died in a traumatic way. From the ages of like 2 to 5, it's pretty profound. You know, it's not shocking to me when parents contact me because they're so baffled and sometimes terrified because their child is talking about when he was this or she was that or different mommy or how they died. And the parents don't know how to address this or even if in fact, is their child okay or is there something seriously wrong with their child? It's a so-called like a mental issue. So it's education, spiritual education and enlightenment. So I would really strongly and lovingly encourage the parents to realize that just as my parents in this lifetime, oh, wow, like they had their hands full with like this spiritual master that was coming through and they had no clue whatsoever what I was about and how I was able to do these things and see these things and so forth. So that it really should be a partnership. You know, but instead of looking at the 4 or 5 year old body, look into the eyes mm-hmm. of the child and see the soul. And then when your child, your 4 or 5 year old child, actually says something that is beyond their years and that is full of wisdom or enlightenment, pay heed and listen. Because it's not coming from a 4 or 5 year old body. This is the expression and the reflection of, in fact, that soul's journey and evolution. And so this is where the mass, the illusionary human bodies just need to be put to the side, look into the eyes deeply, and get to know the soul of your child. And perhaps, even though you're the adult and you're the governing parent, your child, in fact, may be your teacher in this lifetime, may be your healer to awaken you to remember again who, in fact, you are. Because your child had just been incarnated. It just left the soul world, the astral plane. And it's only in its body for 2 or 3 years. So it's not programmed yet. And it hasn't been disconnected yet. It's not distracted yet, where it's like you're a body and here's your mirror image and you need to do this and you're a girl, so you have to behave like this. It's not programmed yet, humanistically. But the parent, unfortunately, is. And the parent might have been disconnected or fallen spiritually asleep along the way. Allow your child to awaken you again.
Mm-hmm. I often like to remind parents that you don't necessarily get the child you want, you get the child you need. And what you've just said, I mean, that's basically the message, is that that child has chosen you for a reason. There's something there. And if you open up to it and are willing to talk about it and not to turn it into this big, scary thing that mm-hmm. requires a priest or anything else, you have a chance of really figuring it out.
You're absolutely right, Debbie. And the whole, prior to the parent coming into incarnation again, this was all discussed prior to their incarnation. And the soul of the child was also discussed. In most cases, they already met the soul of their coming child. So it was all there. But again, that amnesia sets in once people take form. And it's like they completely forget who and what they really are, soul. Right. And then all of a sudden, the artificial reality sets in and this modification of behavior sets in of how do you have to behave, how you have to perform as a family unit, parent to child. And it's such a severing. It's such a disconnect. And the parent then gets wrapped up in their daily obligations also as a parent, as a human, as a woman, and robotically, you know, begins to function in their daily life. And the child has such ability to reawaken that mother or father, because again, that child has just come into form. So they're going to have, basically, they're not disconnected. It's just amazing. They're fully aware of their spiritual self and their spirituality. Most children can also see members of the family who have passed on and deceased. And they'll go, yeah, you know, grandpa was in my room last night. Because their soul And this is our natural, this is natural. What I'm able to do, what these children are able to do, are natural. This is our natural abilities. But unfortunately, as people evolve into human form, get more and more invested into the artificial man-made reality, they completely forget, Debbie, who and what they are. And they sever themselves from their soul consciousness, their soul awareness. And thank God, when the children come in, it's like, hey, hey, remember? I'm going to help you remember.
Yes. And so what about the mom that senses, I mean, she's listening to you talk and she's going, oh my gosh, I think I did have dreams like that. Or I remember trying to tell my parents something or waking up from this. Like, what does she do now? Especially, let's just say her child is, maybe she's just pregnant. So it's going to be a few years before her child's going to be able to say anything to her. So what does she do now to start reawakening that part?
Right. And oftentimes when during pregnancy, women will have dreams or what I would refer to as actual visitations, encounters with their soul that is about to become their child. So the soul, I mean, it's not like a lottery or a random pick. Again, all of this was predetermined, pre-chosen in a soul contract prior to the mother even being born. But while she's pregnant, don't be surprised if the soul that is about to be your child and take form, human form, doesn't come to you in the astral plane while you're thinking you're sleeping and having a dream. And there you are now experiencing the soul. What form it may take, it may not. It may just be on an energetic, conscious level. But journaling is so important. You brought that up. It's very important that you do record what your experiences are, both on a nightly basis as also during the day. If you're having deja vu experiences, if you're having premonition experiences, or just a feeling. Because in effect, what it does, these are your personal experiences, Debbie. And nobody then can detract from it. You know what you experience. You may not understand it, or you may not know how to proceed or what to do with your experience. But after a while, after you've documented a history of these experiences, one, it should give you validation. Something's happening here. Something's real. Especially, let's say, if you had a conversation with the soul of your child that was about to be born. And then when your child was 2 years old, your child might say to you, Mommy, remember when I came to you when you were pregnant and your tummy was real big? And right. you've got it in your diary. So your own journal of your own personal experiences, how can you dispute that? And that's private and personal. And that's almost your own school book. You know, that's what teaches you. It's like, I can do that. I can experience that. But the biggest thing that holds people back is fear. Mm-hmm. And because they've been told not to do it. Right? Like, it's not proper to be gay, right? It's not proper to be transgender. Well, it's not proper to have an out-of-body experience, you know? And so there's this thing on it, you know? And you need to cleanse yourself spiritually and realize you are not man-made, although man tries really hard to make you into what he wants you.
To form you.
You are God-made. You are God-made. And you are a child of God. And these are your natural spiritual abilities. This is normal to express yourself in this way and to experience. And you shouldn't disconnect or sever yourself from your soul and spiritual self for any man, no matter what they say, no matter who they are.
Exactly. Oh, I love it. And you know, this to me is such an important message because when you're starting to awaken, that's the time to reach out for guidance, whether it be from someone like myself, someone like Clementina, reading her book. These kinds of things help you to awaken more and more. And there is an energy in the air. There is stuff happening that is meant to help us awaken right now. So I love what you have shared, Clementina. Is there a way that if people want to work with you more or find out I don't know, besides reading your books, is there any other way they can work with you?
Yes, I do have a private practice, and I do work with people over the phone nationwide in the United States. So if, and mostly I have women, but I do have some men. And this is what it is, Debbie. Most women will come to me and they'll share what their experiences have been. And they're either traumatized by it, confused by it, just not sure really what this is all about. And then I just basically bring that clarification that they need. And also I'm highly intuitive and I read their soul. And so all they need to do is go to my website, www.spiritualwisdomtv.com, spiritualwisdomtv.com. And there's a tab for sessions. And then they could look there and they could contact me through my website if they'd like to have a phone session with me.
Nice. That's very nice. And if you don't mind, I'm just going to mention as well that I often work with women who haven't had that traumatic experience. They just feel this sense that something needs to change. They feel like there's something more and it's time to awaken to it. And so, it's one of those things that I think there's a million different guides out there and you want to find the guide that works best for you. So Clementina, I am so honored that you have come on my show not once but twice and shared so much of your wisdom with us. You mentioned to me we could do something more together, and so I just want to mention to others, if you would like Clementina to offer something more with me, let me know. Send me an email at mail, that's mail as in M-A-I-L, not the gender, at empoweringnrg, three letters, nrg.com, and let me know, and we will talk, Clementina and I will talk and see what we can do to set something up. I so appreciate you, Clementina, for sharing with us. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in, spreading the word, and by doing so, helping to make the world a better place. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik and her guest, Clementina Marie Giovannetti, wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant, Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters N-R-G.com.